Potential meaning of hope, I thought that was interesting, as to want something to happen or to be true and think that it could happen. Dictionary.com defines hope as the feeling that what is wanted can be had or that events will turn out for the best. That's funny. That was just funny. Okay, so my first point is this. Go to the next slide. Where are you placing your hope? See, everyone needs hope. Everyone needs hope. And here it says in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. It was written so that we can learn. So that we can learn something. What is that something? That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might obtain, might receive, might have hope. We all need hope. Now, the important thing is determining what kind of hope you're hoping for, or who that hope you have in. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, you stand for the reading of this word. I'm just going to read this one verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then you'll be able to see, be seated. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. It is something that I'm hoping for without needing evidence, without needing proof. Because if I need to see it, then it's really not faith. And if you really have it, then why? For those of you that might have a dollar or $5 in your pocket, can you give it to me? No. You might have in your pocket. Why would you hope for $5 when you know that you just put it in, you took it out to look and you put it in your pocket? Why would you hope for $5? You already have it. Now, you might hope for another $5, but you have that. You see that evidence. There's no need to hope in that. We all know and understand that. We've said certain things like, I hope this and I hope that, but everyone needs hope. So where are you placing your hope? You may be seated. Faith and hope are somewhat related. I like to say that they're brothers. Faith and hope, it personified. I'm just using this as a personification. They're like brothers. You see, to have faith is to have confidence and belief without the evidence. Now, that word substance, it's defined, the Greek word is defined as that which has an actual existence, a thing, a person. Just point to the person next to you. All right, they're there, you know. If it's not a figment of your imagination. You may not want them to be there. Hopefully you do, but they're there. Evidence and proof is by you pointing and them saying, I'll quit it. So the evidence, the word evidence is proof. That by which a thing is proven or has been tested. I want to share this. As I was, Holy Spirit does a great job at convicting us. Because the Holy Spirit sees something that you don't see a lot of times. And he convicts you. But the important thing is that he convicts you using God's word. Nothing else. It is God's word that he uses to point out to you something's missing. Right here, this verse, it's missing. Your mouth, what comes out of it, something's missing here because the word says this ought to come out of your mouth. But that's coming out of your mouth. So the Holy Spirit does a great job at showing this. And he sees and he reveals the evidence. He reveals and he points things out. This is why earlier I just kind of thought, well, this is great because this is, Lord, you're really moving. You're wanting to speak to the people today. The fact that what the Holy Spirit pointed out earlier, he's revealing something that you don't even want to see or you know, but you don't want to get rid of. And he's saying, give it to me, get rid of it. So the Holy Spirit does a great job because he reveals the evidence in us in an area where the truth isn't found. He reproves us in using God's word, God's truth. So to have hope is similar to having faith because it involves our emotions, it involves actions to see that what you are hoping for will come to pass. You hope it will happen. I was so glad when I found a bunch of those videos a long time ago, but... the reason why I wanted to show that is every single one of the teams, they hoped that they would get to the finish line. They would hope, they hope that they would win the actual Derby, because they did have an actual winner, the fastest time. But, you know, they designed this little makeshift soapbox. They decorated it. They didn't decorate it with the anticipation of, well, we're going to fail. We're not even going to pass the starting line. They hoped that they were going to be able to make it all the way to the finish line. It's one of the things that we kind of use this word hope quite a lot, don't we? I hope this happens. Maybe some of you were saying today, I hope Pastor Rick doesn't preach so long. Maybe you were saying, I hope that there isn't a long line at the restaurant. Maybe some of you were saying, I hope I turned the crock pot on. Anybody ever fail to do that? I'll agree to that. But we all hope for something. For kids, it might be sports. They hope to make the team. They hope to be able to play. They hope to win. A student might hope to get a car, might hope to pass and graduate so they can have a car. For the adult who is job searching, maybe they're hoping to get hired, hoping to make enough money to pay bills and to eat. For the grandparent, hope to spend another moment with those precious grandkids, sugar them up and send them back to their parents, right? But you might have heard this phrase, hope for the best. You see, as I mentioned before, that, you know, hope, everyone needs it. And let's go to slide 5. You know, hope for the best. It says, expect nothing, prepare for the worst. And I thought, what a horrible, mentality to have. Even as Christians, if you're a Christian and you have this mentality, or you hold on to it, or maybe sometimes it just flees across your mind and you kind of like pull it out of your back pocket and you say it, what a horrible mindset to have. That's not the mindset of Christ. Do you remember who the God that you're serving? Do you remember the Lord, the Savior who came to die for you? What did he say he came to do? He said he came to give you life and life more abundantly. But when we use this word hope, I mean, I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves that hope, it creates an effort. It creates us to move, an action. These people, it created within them the effort to design this vehicle and to decorate it. And we all need hope, but the important thing is that the hope needs to be in God, in his word, and what he has for us. The Holy Scriptures are God's truth. It's God's living word. I hope that you're looking to his word for your hope in life. So hope can be viewed as the driving force, like that soapbox. It could be the driving force of where we want to go, of where we want to be. More importantly, of where God wants us to be. Isn't that right? I can have certain thoughts and certain ideas of what I want or what I think is best, but Scripture tells us that God's ways are higher than my ways. So why look to my own viewpoint of what I want? Why don't I just begin today to start hoping in what God has for me? To what God wants for me. So hope for the best. Expect nothing. Prepare for the worst. That's not the mindset of a believer. Unless they don't know what God's word says. Ooh. Unless they have forgotten the God that they're supposed to be serving. I kind of look at it this way. 2 bottles of water. You could probably tell that one is full and one is empty. Which one is full? Which one is empty? Yeah, you could tell, right? It kind of ruined my illustration that you could easily tell, but I'm like, I'm going to go with it anyway. But a lot of people, they put hope in something that's empty instead of putting their hope in God and what he has. Just think of this. The last time, it'll take about 5 seconds. The last time you used the word hope, how did you use that phrase? What were you hoping for? Who were you placing that hope in? And now ask yourself, was it something that was empty? Was it in somebody that didn't say he'd give me life and life more abundantly? Was it something that's going to be used up and moth and rust and the thief will come to steal and it's really not going to last? Or was it something that came out of God's word? Was it something that God has for me? Because he has great plans for us. Jeremiah says that he has great plans for us to prosper because there is an expected end. I love that. There is an expected end for each one of us that God has, that he desires for us to be. Now, it's up to us whether we're going to look to him, whether we're going to look to his word and have the hope in his word that what he says is going to come to pass, even if we don't see the evidence right now. Listen, I believe there is heaven. And as I pray heaven on earth, I keep praying that. It's in the Lord's Prayer. But I, even though I don't see, you know, I don't see angels in this room, but I know the presence of God is here. But when we hope in just certain things that are not weighty and they're just empty, I pray that you receive what the Holy Spirit is saying today. Who are you hoping in? You need hope. I mean, we all need hope in something. I mean, the hope that our marriage would get better, the hope that my relationship with kids would get better, the hope that I would get a raise. Well, you know what? If we apply God's truth to our lives, our marriage would get better. Our relationships within family and outside of the family would get better. The fact that we would have a job, God would just rain his favor on us. And the fact that we would be great employees, because we're not doing it for the man, we're doing it for the man. Whatever we do, let us do as unto the Lord. So when we look to God's word and hope in what he has said and what he has for us, it's never an empty promises. So today, many people use this word hope incorrectly because it's on the wrong person, the wrong reasons, even a misguided hope because they choose to hope in themselves. Listen, if you're hoping in yourselves, you're already failing. I'm even trying to use this to where I myself won't say hope when I'm talking to somebody. I'll kind of retract. Sometimes I'll be like mid-sentence and hope. No, never mind. I'm going to pray. I'm trying to learn to use this word correctly, because why would I hope in something that I have not even brought before God first to say, God, is this what you want for me? God, is this what you, is this okay? Is it okay for this to have? Is it, God, is it okay to go on this trip? God, is it okay to buy this? And is it okay for that? I mean, why hope in something that God says, buddy, I don't even have that for you. That is nowhere in the plan that I have for you today. So why hope in that? Unless I'm putting hope in myself and other things instead of God. So I'm trying to remind myself to pray and to present my desire to God first and then say, God, is it okay? And wait on his response. Wait to see if he opens a door and say, okay, then my hope is to hope in this. I mean, I'm not even wanting to speak and hoping for something that God doesn't want me to have. So why hope for something that he doesn't want for me to have? Scripture reveals many people. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Scripture reveals many people who had hope. This led them to cross paths with Jesus because they heard Jesus was coming, because they heard about Jesus and he was doing miraculous things. And it led them to use hope, to have hope. It brought them to have action. It got them out of their house. It got them from out of their town or their city, and they went to go find Jesus. And that in that moment, faith was joined with that hope that they had for deliverance, for healing, for salvation. And as long as they looked to God, as long as their focus and their direction was pointing them to where Jesus was or where he was traveling, they found it. They found their answer. They found what they had hoped for. They found what they were having faith for. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, it says, while he spake, Jesus speaking these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. That's a long time. I'm not sure how long you're waiting for what you're hoping for or putting faith in. If it's years, keep holding on to what God's word says. I've said this before. Take his word. You can take it to the bank. And even if it's not on your time, I mean, trust and have faith in him. If you want to be encouraged, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Read the hall of faith, or the chapter of faith is what people call it. And those that had faith and trusted God and what God said. And then towards the end of that chapter, it said that those that had faith, they didn't see the promises. But that didn't mean that God's promises failed. They trusted in God all the way to the end. And so it says here, woman was diseased with for 12 years, came behind him, behind Jesus, touched the hem of his garment. Verse 21, underline that if you're taking notes or yeah, if you like to write in your Bible, it's not illegal. Verse 21, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith hath made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, the ruler here in Mark chapter 5 gives his name. His name is Jairus. And this was a ruler of the temple. So this was a guy that knew the law. This guy that worked in the temple, he knew about the law. But yet he was hoping that if he was to find this guy that everybody was talking about Jesus, he hoped, he had faith. Again, brothers, they're related. He had hope. It led him to action. And he had faith that when he saw Jesus, he asked Jesus, hey, can you come to my house? Can you touch my daughter? Hey, can you go ahead? Because she's sick and she might die. And the woman didn't even talk to Jesus. Why? Well, 12 years will probably create some desperation, don't you think? And we have some certain pictures. It doesn't say that she was crawling on her hands or knees, but to my mind, the hem of his garment is the lower part of his garment, the hem, and you know, like the hem of your pants. I'm seeing in my head, this woman is crawling on the ground while people are thronging him and touching him and just a big, huge crowd. This lady got to the bottom of, on the ground, and she is, you know, in the midst of all the dirt and the stank feet, you know, and but she's reaching out. There's nothing going to stop this woman from touching the hem of his garment, because she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. There's hope right there. There's faith. It leads you to that. Nowhere do we find in this passage that Jairus was at home thinking, if Jesus comes to my house, he'll touch. It doesn't say that the woman was still in the physician's room or in the hospital or at home because she had this issue of blood. It led her to action, to seek this Jesus. Verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith had made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Something that they were hoping for, something she was hoping for, something to happen, it happened. They didn't stay home to see it happen. They went out. Our hope is just like our faith. It leads us to this action. My third point is Jesus is the key to our hope. I want to read a couple of verses in Mark chapter 5. This is the same story in Mark chapter 5, verse 28. Verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. It's the same woman, not a different woman. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Things ever get worse if they feel like they get worse? This is the thing. They feel like they get worse. And you're like, well, Pastor, they don't feel like they were. I saw it got worse. Well, you're looking with these eyes or the spiritual eyes led by what God's word says. That is a battle that we have to learn to fight. To stop looking at what we see with our physical eyes and look to what we're supposed to be seeing with our spiritual eye. To stop looking at the feeling and to start looking at the truth. You can feel a lot of things and your feelings will lie to you. They'll cause you to have a pre-assumption of something going on when God's like, hey, you want to go back to my word so you can stand on something solid and truth? Or you want to stand on what you're feeling today? This is a spiritual battle. It's a fight that we all have to learn. So I hope that you're learning that. And so it says that she was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, I'm going to try to dramatize this and try to give you this picture that in the middle of all the, you know, shuffling of people's feet and the thronging of people, you know, just pushing up against Jesus, because there were other people that wanted to touch and be with Jesus. Other people who had hoped that something was going to happen. There was a lot of people. She's on the floor and she's actually saying. It says here, she said, if only I'm, and in my mind, I'm picturing it's a dramatization, yeah, Hollywood, whatever, but she's crawling on her hands and knees and she's saying, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Desperation. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith. Now, don't get mixed up here. It wasn't her. It's Jesus. It's not me and what I say. It's Jesus that heals. Amen. But her faith had a very important, her faith in Jesus, her faith in God. Her faith that if she'll touch the hem of this garment of his, she'll be made well. Your faith has made you well, Jesus said. Then he says, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So thankful here that he didn't say, gotta wait a couple more years, then it'll go away. He said, from this point on, it was go in peace and be healed of your affliction. The substance of what she hoped for came to pass, even though she didn't see the evidence of it. Is it making you think about what you've been hoping for these last few days, what you've been telling people your hope? Well, I hope to get this for Christmas, or I hope to get this, or I hope for this to happen, and I hope for this to happen, and I hope to get that job. I hope to see so-and-so. Maybe it'll change the way you use that word hope now. I mean, we all need it. But when we look to God's word, let's hope to what God has. Let's hope what God is saying for us, for his glory, changes the whole dynamic of what we're hoping for. So why not hope for what God has? Let's learn to hope for God's best. Let me get Mike and Adam. You don't mind passing. It's kind of weird, but this is just before altar call. These are invite cards. Before, we would ask you to mail these out. There's no stamp. So it's a person-to-person basis this year. We're asking you to invite someone to church. Hopefully they'll come the next couple of church services tonight at 6 p.m., Wednesday at 6:30, the following Sunday. Shannon is scheduled to preach, and there's a special treat next Sunday morning. We're going to hear some great word from different people. Sunday night, Caleb is speaking Sunday night, and then Janine is preaching on Wednesday. We have a candlelight service on Wednesday. So we want to encourage you to, if you want more than one, take more than one. You go out to eat, that waiter, that waitress that's serving you, invite them. A neighbor, invite them. A coworker, invite them, and hand them the card and say, hey, you're invited. I would love to have you come and be my guest at church a Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday. So we wanted to give you this and pray over it with hope. Now, this is the key that I'm talking about in this message, that you pray about it, and if it stays in your wallet, in your car, or on your dresser, why hope that so-and-so is going to come if you don't actually give it to somebody and say, hey, man, I hope you can come, because you've prayed about it, and now it's driven you to act on what you're hoping for and what you're praying for and believing for and having faith. Even if it's that person that's said 10 times, hey, I'm coming, but they don't show up. Anybody, that ever happened to anybody? All right. Don't give up. Keep inviting them. Keep praying for them. Why? Because you're hopefully you are hoping that they come to know Christ, that they come to church, that they can hear about Christ and get saved. Amen. I close with this one verse, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my last slide, can you imagine what God has in store for you? I mean, Jesus is the key to our hope. Can you imagine the doors that Jesus can unlock for us? What God has in store for us? Quit selling yourself short. Quit thinking that God is done with you. He's not. If you're alive and you're breathing, he's still wanting to work in you. He is patient. Thank God he's patient. He's long-suffering. Thank God, Lord, you're long-suffering. That he is willing to do his good work, continuing to do his good work in me, in you, through you, for his glory. Why? Because there are many more people that need to hear Jesus saves, Jesus loves, and God has great things for them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Go ahead and, Joe, and just play that a worship altar call video. Father, we worship you and we thank you, Father, for what you've already been speaking to us today. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you have a plan of salvation for each person, Lord. It is your desire that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance, God. I pray, Father, that we have faith in your word. Lord, let us use hope correctly. Let us hope in your word instead of what we think would be right. Father, I pray, God, that we would, Father, Lord, that the hope that we have in you and in your word would lead us to action, not just thinking about it and looking at it from afar, but actually getting involved, actually handing out that invite card, actually getting on our knees and praying for our neighbors that they'll come to know Christ, because we hope that they'll come to know Christ. Father, I thank you for what you have in store for us. It's so great. Lord, help us, Father. Remind us not to sell ourselves short or to think that you're done. You're not done.